Reading from News Nation now, Israel launched a wave of strikes across Iran Friday, that would be today, targeting its nuclear program and military sites, killing at least two top military officers, raising the prospect of an all-out war between two bitter Middle East rivalries. Iran then quickly retaliated, sending a swarm of drones at Israel, many of them knocked down, some of them hitting their targets. Tom Mikaitis joins us now, a professor of history from DePaul, also a well-understood and known terrorism expert here in the Chicago area. Tom, what do you want us to know out of the gate about this story?
Well, it's a very complex thing, and it's not entirely clear the U.S. role in this. Secretary of State Rubio was very careful to distance the U.S. from it in saying that we were not at all involved, but to warn Iran not to strike at American targets in the region. And President Trump's envoy was scheduled to meet with the Iranians on Sunday, and whether that will happen remains to be seen. So I'm not entirely sure he's totally pleased with what's going on. In fact, he referenced a rather tense call with Netanyahu. So as one expert has said, I think it may be that what happened is the U.S., which, you know, green-lighted this, but made it really clear we wouldn't actually get involved or support it. And, of course, we were informed because we cleared we sent home, non-essential personnel and family members from embassies and facilities around the region. It's also not clear yet how it affected. It was devastating in a lot of ways because they went after much more than the nuclear sites, but it remains to be seen what the damage assessment is. But the attacks are likely to continue for several days, and the fallout is as yet unclear, but it will unfold over years, I'm sure.
I'll ask you more about the U.S. involvement in a minute, but to the degree that Israel started it, granted Iran was ratcheting up its nuclear program, Israel felt it was provoked, but at least this first launch then starts with Israel. How imminent was the threat to Israel? Did they need to act now?
I don't believe that they did. Look, it's no secret that for years, Israel has never been in favor of negotiations with Iran or any kind of deal. They think the only thing that can guarantee their security was to take out this capability. So the idea that, you know, I think the Atomic Energy Committee, International Atomic Energy Committee, certainly noted a few days back that Iran was not in compliance, and this gave them, perhaps Israel, the cover it needed to do this. But this was an operation and months in the making, if not longer. So I think this was a very opportunistic thing. And to carry it out when negotiations were in the works does not make Israel look very good in the international stage. And it was clearly a preemptive strike. I don't think there was an imminent threat. And the ability to hit Iran was always there, obviously, as we see. It's also worth noting they have not just targeted nuclear sites and missile launchers, which would be understandable. They went after command and control, the leader of the Revolutionary Guard, one of the top military officers, and so on. So, you know, this was a comprehensive strike, carried out, and very extensively, and will continue to be so in the days ahead.
Was the U.S. a player to some extent here? Barack Obama had negotiated a deal where they would agree not to enrich the uranium to weapons grade, as I understand it. Donald Trump said that was a terrible deal.
Yep.
He pulled us out of that, and I wonder if this is partly the result of that. What's your thought about our role there?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And it wasn't a terrible deal. It was flawed. No deal is absolutely perfect. But it's no secret that anything that had Barack Obama's name on it was going to be repudiated by Donald Trump, and that continues to be the case. He's an individual because, you know, odd as it may seem, some of it goes back to the correspondence dinner when Trump was made fun of, and he continues to carry that resentment. So I don't it wasn't just our deal. Multiple nations signed onto it, and it guaranteed engagement, it guaranteed inspection, and it could have at least slowed down and may very well have stopped this. But we've backed Iran into a corner with sanctions that have impoverished them to a very significant degree, and so on. And there's been nothing to replace the deal. So I'm not saying Iran is completely innocent in this, and you know, there's, you know, it has threatened Israel through in its with its proxies throughout the region. But I think this is overreach.
I wonder how the world reads Donald Trump's rhetoric then when he says, just do it to Iran before it's too late. You know, that sounds, I won't even characterize what that sounds like, but I wonder how the world hears that.
I think, this phrase taco that's making the rounds, Trump always chickens out, is in fact becoming something of a mantra around the world, because nobody can rely on what he says, because he says one thing, and then if it suits him the next very next day, he'll reverse course on that. And, you know, so, for example, he was pushing these negotiations, et cetera, and if they had worked or they'd been allowed to continue, he would take credit for that. Now that they haven't, he's kind of making it seem like he's always been in favor of strong action against Iran.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the rest of the world sees him for what he is a loose cannon, and it's very hard.
Well, hello, I think that taco thing, yeah. I get it, and I understand, and I remember when it first popped up, and he presented it at a press conference.
It has to do mainly with
tariffs.
With tariffs, but I think it's emblematic of how he's been.
Okay, but if it were a real estate deal and I said, hey, I'll buy that building or sell you the building for $50 million, and you say $60 million, and we settle on $55 million, that's negotiation. That's I said one thing, but I settled on something else. In the international arena, though, that is maybe seen as something different. It seems like you're flip-flopping or chickening out.
Well, but the thing is, exactly, that's the point. But the thing here that also has to be said is, I think one commentator said it brilliantly, that in fact, you make deals with your allies and you engage in diplomacy with your adversaries. But we have a president who seems to think he can pick the phone up, have a conversation, and things are resolved. And, you know, he said, well, I had a really frank conversation with Vladimir Putin, and yet the war in Ukraine continues. There is no deal. You know, but there's this spinning of it as it is. So I think, you know, it's very, very hard for the international community to read what is going on.
Join the club. One last question for you then. What do you think about a nuclear exchange between Israel and Iran or anybody else? I think that's what the world is fearing most here. Just what's your thought about that?
Well, I guess I can end this with a little bit of optimism. I think that's so unlikely as to be something you could rule out. First of all, Israel is the only nation in the region that has nuclear capability at this point. It has something like 90, estimated, they won't admit it, but they estimated to have about 90 nuclear warheads, which is enough to devastate the entire region if they needed to. And they have the delivery capability, intermediate range for sure. Nobody else does, and none of the nuclear players that we know of seems likely to come to Iran's defense. So I think a nuclear exchange is highly unlikely, nor is it likely that Iran has any real capability of retaliating against Israel, because Israel is really degraded, if not eliminated, its partners in the region. It has devastated Hezbollah. The Houthis, thanks in part to U.S. military action, and Yemen have been weakened as well. Assad is out of power in Syria, and so on. So there just really isn't very likely. And as we've seen, the air defense capability of the Israelis far exceeds the penetration capability of the Iranians.
I'm out of time, Tom. It's nice to talk to you today, and I like you ending on that note. Thanks for joining
Thank
us
you.
Today. That's Tom Mikaitis, the terrorism analyst and history professor over at DePaul.